Hey folks, Sir Richard Wentworth. When you're ready to buy a car, TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Yes, TrueCar helps buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, download the TrueCar mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With TrueCar, you can save time, save money, and never overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
All right. Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV after show for Downton Abbey Series Season 5. This is Episode 9, the finale episode, the Christmas special. Happy Christmas to you, ladies.
Happy Christmas.
There you go. I'm John Comerford. Joining me in the studio is Courtney Stewart.
What's up, everybody?
And Tamara Bird.
Hey, everybody. Happy Christmas. Happy New Year.
Well, this is what you want in a Christmas episode from Downton Abbey. It was gorgeous. Yeah. They had me laughing. They had me crying. It was full. It had so many storylines. And first of all, your overall impressions, ladies?
Well, I was about 15 minutes into the show and, you know, just sort of enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And I always watch it twice before we come up. And so the first one I watch is always just sort of, you know, to enjoy it and to, you know, watch it as others would.
And then you do it for work.
And then I do it for work. And the first time I watched it, about 15 minutes in, and I tweeted this, I said, you know, gosh, this is why I love this show.
Yeah.
You know, I remember why, because I've had some frustrations this season, and I love that every year the Christmas special they don't disappoint, except for when Matthew was killed.
But even though that happened, that was a great episode.
Yeah. And Julian Fellowes never ceases to impress me at the Christmas special, and I love that.
Yeah, he pulls out all the stops. I mean, it looked gorgeous. I just wanted to start by talking about the beautiful shots.
Courtney, what was your?
It was just overall. All just echoing exactly what you said, like I left with that
exactly.
Like, for all the complaints we have, they weren't moving it along fast enough this season, and this wasn't happening right, and this person was annoying. Da 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 da. In the end, I still am like, I love you so much,
and I will come back next season. I can't wait.
Yeah, I know. I'll wait another whole year.
I will.
Yeah. I was flooring the train shots coming through the countryside and even in the train. I mean, we visited Brancaster Castle. We'd never been there, so it's a whole new area covered completely well. So many wonderful shots of that place and the countryside.
I loved
the
one where they had the castle in the background and the cars going across the little motorway.
All that green and then the gray and the fog when they're out hunting and the dog.
So much of that. And even
impeccable.
When we weren't at Brancaster Castle, because you remember, I was pointing out every time you saw the Dowager and Isabel walking through a graveyard. And here we had them in the garden.
They were in gardens every time.
Gorgeous, too.
I bet Julian Fellowes heard us talking about
it. Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was.
I'm sure that's
absolutely
what happened.
So,
the ruins of the castle,
and then they had the lunch there and stuff like that.
At one moment when we were walking through the ruins, I was like, come on, why are we
in ruins?
We people would not see the, and then they ended up at the outdoor picnic area.
Right,
so it made sense.
Oh, that's right.
That's why. That's
and even when we came back for Christmas 1924, and we were back at Downton, and I mean, just the shot of everything in the snow, and then you go in downstairs into the kitchen. You got the bacon wrapped turkey.
Bacon wrapped turkey. Which
looks
divine. I'm in.
Yeah, everything looks so lush, and
their Christmas tree was even just like, oh my god, it was sumptuous, yeah. And the kids
and Highclere Castle, where Downton is shot, tweeted a bunch of pictures of their Christmas tree as well, mm-hmm. which was, I don't know if it was the exact tree or it was the similar tree. Mm-hmm. So pretty. Mm-hmm. Also, the dinner shots at Brancaster Castle. Those, you know, that there was that one great shot where, you know, when we get into the story, we'll get there. But, you know, you're sort of looking over one of the guests' shoulders and then the jib comes up and you see the whole room and you see the length of the table and the wall coverings.
And really heightened when we went from the dinner that Carson and Hughes and Daisy, and he was a little bit put off that Daisy was going to eat with us. And you had the downstairs, and very modest, and then you cut right to the big splendor
of
lush. Yeah, so that was nice. Like, whoa, yeah, that's good editing, nicely done.
Good work.
Yeah, okay, so I was overwhelmed and loved all the shots of that.
And the
shot selection as well.
Again, God bless Julian Fellowes because he brought us all back.
Absolutely.
As much as we were critics.
Yeah, and you got to enjoy it for the visual aspects of it. Now let's get into the storylines of it.
Okay, do we have any storylines?
Just a few storylines to cover.
Good gracious.
Well, I want to start off with the whole Brancaster Cinderby thing because, you know, obviously Cinderby has decided that this is where he's going to, make his, because when they had gone to London, I guess it was, he was talking about he
was going to have them.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. For the season.
And wants to make his mark or something. And I'm going, okay, whatever. And then it's here, and he's the man of the house and brings his own butler, which apparently is a big no-no.
Which causes
all kinds of trouble.
Interesting, though, just a little thing about, so we're at Brancaster Castle, which is the owner is renting out. So which it's another one of those reflections of how the times are changing.
Which could have happened to Downton if all kinds of things didn't occur, didn't go right.
Exactly.
But this is what could have happened to them to some degree. And so that and may still be.
May still be in the making.
So, that's what could a foretelling, maybe? Maybe? Foreshadowing?
Perhaps.
But still, it was lots of fun to be there. But let's get into Lord Cinderby and his consternation and upset about not, you know, everybody bothering him about inviting Shrimpy and Susan.
Mm-hmm. I don't want those people here, sort of, right?
And even when he's when he's out there going to the shooting range or
with Mary.
And her trying to get him to change his mind about that and him standing fast and saying no. Mm-hmm. And really putting himself, you know, on his high horse just to get
really
knocked down nicely.
All people who can talk to you from a high horse, it's Mary. Right?
Yes, she does a very good job of it.
I love that she was incredibly diplomatic in how she was saying to him, for God's sake, set it aside, you know?
Yeah.
And, boy, he wouldn't have it. He literally walked away.
Just ignored her.
And I thought it was also the irony of having a butler who is highfalutin as well and being a pain in your side because of it. So I'm going, well, there you go. There's a little karma in play.
It works well in that family, apparently.
So I want to talk about those two storylines together just because they kind of coincide. So his butler has decided that he's going to snub Thomas.
Tom Branson first.
And then Barrow, of course, and you know, and insult him as well.
Great scene though when they're downstairs. Stowell and Branson, Stowell and Thomas
right?
are downstairs, and Thomas is like trying to keep that stiff upper lip, and he's just, oh good God, you have really done your homework before we got here, right?
He's just introducing himself,
you know,
guys.
Very funny, though.
It was very, and right then you knew you could look the look on Barrow's face. You know, okay, something's not going to go right, and Barrow's going to be behind it.
Yeah,
and he knows everything.
And also, I love that when Mary found out about all this, you know, she knows that Cinderby is
and
Stoll's not well liked downstairs and all that other stuff. She knows exactly what to do. Can't Barrow do something about it?
Like, he's the one. We know that
they know the go-to person.
He's our go-to guy.
Exactly. But he endeared us back. Well, he endeared me back to him again.
Yes,
absolutely. It's always that up and down.
And they did much more of, you know, putting him as the hero in this particular episode.
Right.
Particular thing.
You know, one of our Twitter fans pointed out that he was such a great champion of Sybil,
right.
When, you know, when things were going on with her. And so he was ready to, you know, kind of get back in our good favor in this episode.
But here, I mean, I thought it was the whole thing going on because it was a great dynamic. Because you know, because of what was happening with Aaron Bates, Bates is not going to be there,
right?
So
of course.
He has to step up and be the valet,
right?
To Lord Grantham, and you know, as soon as he's assuming that position, he's going,
oh,
"No, you're going to be a footman.
You're going to be a footman also.
You're going to be." And he's just, "What?
What are you talking
what?
About?"
So that's sets everything in motion. Then of course Mary says to Baxter, "Isn't there something we could do? Get Beryl on it." And yeah. Beryl comes up.
I
with
know them. Just the guy.
Very
just
quickly.
The guy.
Exactly.
And he got all up on it.
He did.
Right.
So
yes.
I mean, it was great. So it's just a little note to say to the chef, hey, you know, don't give Cinderby any meat or whatever.
Give him something plain.
Yes, exactly. But the dressing down. It, right in front of everybody. And I was so shocked by that. I didn't expect Cinderby to go that crazy.
He went nuts.
I think it partly goes to what Stowell was saying, which was his lordship, his title is about
so
10
new.
Minutes old.
Exactly.
So he doesn't maybe know how to conduct himself.
New money.
Or he's a, you know, I think he's a hothead. Mm-hmm. I think he's a self-righteous hothead.
Well, Atticus even said that he can't handle it when things are out of order and stuff like that. But yeah, I was just shocked
and
by
Rose
how much.
And Rose said he was a control freak, too.
I was just shocked by the dressing down.
So rude.
Yeah,
it's so nasty.
And not only to Stowell, but then he calls, you know, Barrow a stupid fool.
Stupid fool. Don't do that.
Exactly. It's so out of character for those dinner parties to get that bold
and harsh. I loved how everybody tried to make... Oh, so...
so anyway, do you want to see the crowd?
Exactly.
They're fantastic.
So that part was just lots of fun. And even afterwards, Lord Grantham talks about how unpleasant it was. And I was still going, well, why would you do it in front of everybody? I still don't get that part of it. But it made great TV. I love that part.
Yeah, it did. Let's just forgive it for that reason.
And because of it, it heightened the whole storyline. So congratulations for carrying that farther. Because
that
now Barrow is like, no, I'm not just going to take Stowell down a couple pegs.
Oh, I've
I'm
got
after Lord Cinderby now.
Mm-hmm.
And again, nicely done, you know, ingratiating himself to Stowell, saying, oh, that was terrible what he said. Hey, he called me a fool. So, you know, we're... two peas in a pod here.
Well, and Stowell's quote was, I know all about his dirty-fingered lordship.
Yes.
Ooh. Well.
Dirty fingers.
And Thomas wanting to be surprised by him, so go ahead and tell me. Over a drink, and the guy's drinking too much. Nice.
Yeah, here, let me pour you a little more, which is what I've been doing today.
Yes, we are drinking in honor of the Christmas special. We're getting
some of my glug.
Spiked wine.
Yeah.
So here we go.
That's delicious.
Were you at all surprised that the way it went down and how Thomas orchestrated this whole thing?
I didn't expect it.
Yeah, when she walked in, did anybody...
Well, when the feet stepped out of the car, I was like, oh, no, he does not have a woman. I was not expecting that when the car pulled up. I
when
was like,
the feet
really?
Stepped
and
out.
When you saw it as a kid, I was like, you're kidding. It's the joke. No, no way.
Awesome.
Really? Where did that even come from?
Yeah, and I can only imagine that this is Diana Clark, of course, we're talking about, but can you imagine she's getting this letter, you know, yes, come, bring the child, and she's going, I get to go to the whole big
house. I get to go to the big house.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
That's terrible.
And then the way she walked in and everybody just... The look.
Yeah, it's like
what?
Do you remember that? Maybe our...
Everything screeches to a halt.
Like, yeah. Who is that?
Yeah. And Rachel being so on it, like, oh, well, who's going, you know, and she's...
But
Rose even more so.
She was the one. Tell me her name. Tell me, and she was ready to go.
Amazing.
Rachel, how are you?
I'm saying, where did that come from? Nice. Because she's been in trouble so many times.
Exactly.
She knows how to get out of it.
Yeah.
That was smooth.
Yeah, it was very smooth.
His heart attack in the corner was not.
Yeah,
not so smooth.
Just very
You're
tired.
So right.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Not smooth at all.
Okay, but one of the moments in that scene that I loved so much is Rose is over talking to Diana going, Diana, my good friend, I haven't seen you in a while. And then over comes Mary going, hello, Diana,
yes,
we haven't seen you in so long.
Yeah.
Lord Grantham, yes, we haven't seen you since we've seen you at Downton.
And then, Rachel leaves and then it's like, what is... And then, yeah, the look of Lord Grantham going, Diana says, I wish he could come over.
and speaking about
Cinderby.
And Lord Grantham's like,
he goes, who?
And Mary.
Now look on Mary's face. Yeah, it's like, Dad.
Seriously?
Duh.
Got a clue.
It's almost the same expression.
Priceless.
Yeah,
priceless.
That was priceless. And even when he understood it, it probably took him, you know, the extra 5 seconds to figure it out. Crikey. Oh, God, that was precious. That was perfect.
It was hilarious.
It was fantastic.
It was very good.
Oh, crikey.
Yeah, and then it all comes clear. And the look, I mean, it was, I mean, the, really, the acting was amazing. The way Lord Cinderby looked when he was gutted there and just completely humiliated and
and couldn't get it back together.
Yeah.
He didn't even try to get it back
and
together.
And Rachel's like, almost oblivious. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, like,
really? Oh. Daniel? Yeah. You know that's Lord Cinderby's name. Mm-hmm. What a coinkydink.
Yeah, and I'm going, I, you know, she probably knows. I mean, I'm
she
guessing
probably,
that when she thinks about it, she's
a smart one.
Yeah, she is a smart one, but she. What is she going to do at that moment? I mean, it would have been ugly for everybody. So, but that she probably knows at some point that's, well, I'm guessing, will come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't you think?
I hope.
If we spend any time with them, I'm guessing that will come out.
I hope.
But anyway, what I also liked was afterwards.
Because you know, of what I'll talk about in predictions. We have a long
time. Oh, okay, all right, right. We do have a long time. Okay. Mm. So, you know, Mary's talking to Rose, and she's saying, how did Stoll know? And then Rose confronts...
Puts it together.
Oh, she confronts Stoll the whole thing, and then to twist it around even more to just like get him. I'd like you to be while I'm deciding whether or not to tell
Lord Cinderby,
I want you to be more polite to Tom, so that cures that whole thing.
Which is what we were going for in the first place.
And the look on Mary is like, wow, Rose, nicely done. Yeah, because I think the way that she orchestrated that whole end result there.
Handled it.
And you got to see the cheering of Rose as well.
Yeah, she Olivia Poped that situation.
She did. Yes, she did.
Rose, if you don't know Scandal's lead character,
look at
there
it.
There you go. Thank Check you very much. Out. Yeah. And we really got to, you know, she's no longer the one who's getting in trouble. She's the one, you know, fixing everything, and I thought that was really nice. And by the way, then when Lord Cinderby says the whole thing about how much he appreciates her and she's clever and kind and generous and all that other stuff.
Oh, God, I loved that.
That was a great scene. But it was also a weird scene for me because, you know, he comes out there saying, Lord Cinderby says, you know, to Lord Grantham, Mary, and Rose
let's
keep it in here, you know, and stuff like that. Because I know you don't want to cause any more pain to Atticus or to Rachel. And I'm going, no, you just want everybody's silence.
You're shady.
So you don't have to face up.
And everybody, of course.
To the depths of your humiliation,
yes,
as you call it.
Exactly. And everybody's so willing to go, yeah, okay, we won't say anything.
We don't want confrontation.
I mean, I guess that's what you would do, but it was a little weird. Because, you have no allegiance to Rachel? Or is it, you know, you don't want to, is it one of those things where you don't want to be shot because you're the messenger of bad news?
I don't know.
Is it none of your business?
I think the none of your business part is more of it.
It's sort of how all those aristocrats handled things. But, you know, the moment he said, Rose, my dear, you are kind, clever, and resourceful. We are lucky to have you. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, your parents are welcome at our house.
Yeah, exactly. But that's, my point is it's kind of a backhanded compliment. Because, it took me this for you to see that?
Exactly.
I'm still the same person. The only thing that's changed is I know who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, is the thing.
Oh, it's... Yeah. Screwed up, babe.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Clearly.
I get that. Yeah, and then Lord Grantham standing up for her again, and she will love you forever if you'll let her.
That's who she
and
is.
He's like, no,
you
know that
Lord Grantham really redeemed himself this episode.
Yeah.
You know, he had the opportunity to just be, you know, right, the kind and loving father, husband, patriarch. Father-in-law, you know, I mean, he really had the opportunity to all of those things and be the head of the family in this episode, and I loved that.
Stubborn and dumb, like he's
right, because he has been this whole series. He's been silly, a bit silly.
Yes.
Oh, and he got his silly in, which we'll get to eventually.
Well, yeah, and a little bit of silly there.
Yeah.
But who knows what's going to happen to Stoll? We don't know, but that's nice. And the Barrow kind of redeems himself again. But I love that he goes, the lengths he'll go.
Right?
And we're going, yay, how horrible for Diane. But yay!
he did.
He did. Diana said as she got into the car, you saved, I know you did it to save him, but you also saved me. It was great humiliation.
That's what she said to Rose, but the whole thing was set in motion to get Cinderby, and I felt horrible for Diana Clark. I mean, she came all the way out there to experience
that. Well, she's in a horrible situation. Yeah. Let's just face it. Yeah.
That's it.
I mean,
that's
you can't. It.
That's right. You can't have top billing. That's
right. You don't have any rights.
Oh, you're right about
that.
You
know the man's married with kids.
That's it.
So it's all good.
Why did you have his baby? In 1920.
There you go, 24.
1924.
No, well,
it was probably in
1919.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
Kid was, what, six or seven?
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
Bad idea, girl.
So, all right, so that I guess we can move on to the next thing. I thought Rose was particularly good in this episode. I thought they gave her great things to do, great things to play. And they even kept her that youthfulness when he said there was a gramophone in the room. She's like, oh,
yeah. And so, when they all arrived to Brancaster Castle, she's like, ah,
very excited. Yeah.
Okay, I know I'm the one who's supposed to have the news, and I don't on this. Because okay. She's off to do Cinderella. Mm-hmm.
It's already done.
I saw the trailer came out a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I think I tweeted it, and I hope people saw it. It looks so amazing. But is she coming back next series? But
I have not heard,
heard anything.
Okay, predictions.
No, we'll get to that later. All right, so while we're still at Brancaster Castle, let's talk about Mary's new suitor.
What do you mean, new suitor? What are you talking about?
I'm hoping that everybody will be happier because he's a lot taller than Charles Blake.
He's taller and he's got great eyes and he's hot. I like him.
One of our Twitter fans, Anna, my friend in Ireland, she says, new fella, dye his hair and he's the image of Matthew.
Okay.
Right?
So you obviously.
I approve. Darker hair. I like the eyes. He's tall, and he doesn't look goofy.
Yeah.
Yes. There is a lot more to his character that we don't know about.
I don't
know anything. I'm assuming he's going to be back next series.
Well, they were very tight to the vest then with who he is and what he
but
is.
But she liked that
stuff.
Car, yeah.
Right? But he's got things going on.
Sure. Well, did you like him?
I did like him, okay. I liked him in the Invitation Game too.
Of course, yes. And he's good. He's great in The Good Wife. Let's put it that way.
Oh, he's in The Good Wife.
Yes, love him in The Good Wife.
Yeah, he's terrific. Yeah. I've never seen him be bad in anything. I think the guy's amazing.
No, but he was very charming. Yes. I loved that he was kind of matching her in her sort of coyness and her, you know, giving and taking at the same time.
Yeah, they had a great little interplay.
Yeah, that's always fun to see.
That's Spencer.
And I like that he kind of trumped her a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially in the end, because she's like running out to the car.
Don't go. If you didn't see it, when you watch it, watch her left hand. Because she's like standing there, her hands like totally giving her away. She's like, what she wants to do is go like this, come back. I'm telling you, that's what happened.
We haven't seen Mary that thirsty in quite some time.
And he is a tall drink of water.
He's a tall drink of water.
There you go. I love the whole thing. Like, you know, she's talking about the car. Oh, wow, the car.
Yeah.
Nice chariot.
Oh, it's yours.
Oh, and then he hops in it so rakishly. Speed up. I have to say, though, that shot of them outside when the car is driving down the road past the castle, the only thing I was thinking was Matthew.
Get a roll bar on your car!
Not exactly.
Yeah. Yep. And it was happening in a Christmas show. It's like, that was, maybe not the best
Don't go so fast.
Okay, so one of the things that he said was, she says, well, do you shoot much? And he says, with this little, you know...
Yeah. It's not my best.
Grin. Yeah. Not at this level.
Yeah.
Which would imply that he's, you know, lower than that.
Or
he's probably an Olympian or something like that.
We don't know. Yeah, that'll be interesting to find out.
Yes, it will be. Mm-hmm.
So, but
Mary's very impressed with him.
We want to find out, which is a good sign.
Shooting's not his real sport. It's cars.
Yes.
But I thought he was more than capable. I thought he was a good match for her. Bested her in a few things. And I think that repartee is going to go along nicely next series.
She likes that too, as much as we do.
That'd be great. So,
goes with her new haircut.
That sassy new haircut.
I don't know. Did I say I wasn't going to refill my glass because it's almost empty?
Well, you might have to do that.
We got a long way to go. You might need to.
I do.
We've already talked to Mary. Let's get on to Edith because poor Edith, not so poor this episode.
We may be able to finally retire the hashtag poor Edith.
Yeah, maybe.
Because this was a beautiful episode for her.
You realize it's just the setup.
She did wear a red dress.
Yes.
It was Christmas.
But like, oh, come on.
No? Okay.
It doesn't matter. Like, she's usually in browns and oranges and like dark.
Oh, sure.
Okay. So
I got her way before Courtney did.
That was very... All right, so
it's okay, you can tell me.
We're happy with this change. Now, don't you think that they're just setting it up so that we can have more poor Edith next season?
Yes, because of course Faith will show up and she'll be in love with somebody else or something, and it'll be a disaster.
Right, predictions, but that's sort of where we're headed.
But for 90 minutes, we could appreciate it.
Wasn't it great that we finally get to say, geez, would you please do something different with her? Yeah.
Early on, she was like, Mary's like, come to mummy. And Edith is like, come to me.
Yes. It's not obvious at all.
Marigold.
No. And, you know, Grantham is figuring out when is the best time to let the secret out.
It's not our secret to tell.
Until he has a scare with Angina. And I thought that scene between them was very, very sweet.
It was one of my favorite scenes in the show.
Yeah.
Definitely the moment that I said, thank you, Juliet.
Yeah.
So now everybody knows, and she says, I want your forgiveness, Father. And he says, I think I need to, I need to forgive you, but you need to forgive me.
Yeah, I need your forgiveness as much as you need mine.
And and as I was watching it, she says, you know, but please, Papa, do I have your forgiveness? And he says, and I said it with him the first time I watched it, oh, my darling, because I knew that was what he was going to say. And that's because as much as we don't see the affection between the parents and children in this show, it's absolutely there when push comes to shove.
Yeah.
He's there for his daughters.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a daughter of, you know, a dad with three girls, right. I get it.
And it was especially because, you know, the last few episodes we've seen him talking about, oh, God, I hope they don't tire her and things. He's just so
saying horrible things. Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah. It was, you know, finally they had a moment. It's like, thank you. She's your daughter.
Yeah.
Well, and also really acknowledging that it wasn't just about making a mistake. It was about Gregson being an honorable man,
right,
about her loving her daughter, and, you know, really sort of acknowledging that for all time this situation has been happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to deal with it, and let's be kind about it, and let's honor Gregson's memory. Mm-hmm. Let's, I don't know if the word's honor, but be appropriate to your child and really, you know, help her along the way she deserves to be helped.
Mm-hmm. But they're still going to keep it in house.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll but
they made, somebody
lasts.
Made the comment saying that it's not just for her, but for Marigold.
Right.
Because if Marigold's the bastard child that don't have a daddy, it's just as horrible for her.
And people will use that term.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course they will.
Absolutely.
Of course they will.
And still not telling Mary.
Don't. Because Mary's still a biatch, okay?
Exactly.
I don't know if we were at that part or not, but they had a really great exchange.
Exactly.
I'll find it eventually, but I was wow,
what she
Mary.
Says, yeah, when they were talking about Tom going to America,
that's
whole thing about...
You're leaving me here with you.
Yeah, that she's not so sad about him leaving as much as she's sad about her staying
left
home with Edith. That was like, what, really? Okay, but when that happened, I was going, oh, come on.
How old are we? Are we still in grade school?
That's what I'm saying. And I get it. I know familial things. I get sibling rivalry and the whole thing.
No, do you?
Yeah,
really?
Just a little bit.
Really? How many siblings do you have?
I have six. I'm the sixth to seven. So I understand all those things. But
you were a baby, though.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, I mean, at 35, really, you're still running the same number?
I would like to answer that question, too.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Okay.
There are those that are still running that same number.
I'm sure you are, but we left it way behind.
I'm the middle
behind,
of three girls.
Okay. She's the middle of three girls.
She's the middle of three. That's why we get along.
You really are sisters.
I mean, in a way, it sort of seems silly that Mary throws these barbs sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let's be honest. The family dynamic continues.
I know.
And in certain situations, it becomes more important when there are high stakes. And this is a high-stakes family.
I understand all those things. I don't disagree with all those things. What I'm saying is, as a viewer... It's tiresome.
I agree.
I think you need to move that along.
Yeah.
I get bored with it.
I laugh out loud every time, so I don't think I'm tired yet.
Well,
I find it amusing. I'm like, you're such a...
there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
But it doesn't show any growth. Yeah. That is true. So it's not like there was any evolution in their relationship.
You know, just talking a little bit about Mary being snarky, when she was with... Mr. Handsome, the new Matthew, the brown-haired Matthew.
Tolbert.
You know, she's throwing back at him during the picnic.
Right.
And I thought, does she think that's charming?
Oh, yeah. When she's...
Does she?
I would probably say
because I think she's playing hard to get.
Or is she just so used to being the princess of everything? And I don't know. But she's a woman who, you know, definitely speaks her mind whatever it is and however it serves her. And it does seem a little ridiculous sometimes,
But moving on to that, to the next part of Edith's storyline. So she gets that wonderful moment with Dad, and, you know, Marigold gets more embraced by the family, if not Mary. But she gets to meet Bertie Pelham,
excuse me.
Who's a third cousin to Lord Hexham, I believe, who owns Brancaster.
Right.
And he doesn't seem to be too impressed with that, or that he even really cares about third cousins.
I'm just the agent, and I have no aspirations.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. But they seem to really get along. And
they
I go, well, we got another love interest for Edith, too.
He wasn't handicapped. He's her age.
Yeah. There you go. So in Edith's world, that's a huge coup.
It is. Nice callback, Courtney.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Give a girl a break.
There you go.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do we like that pairing? Do you think that's going to continue? What do we think?
I do. I think it's fun. I think it's interesting because we got to see Edith, you know, become someone new with working with a paper and becoming a journalist. Some of that journalism stuff was coming in with her asking questions.
Yeah.
But then in the end, when he asks her, do you have any burning aspirations? He's like, nope.
Yeah, she's very happy with where she is.
I'm happy being a mom.
So, yeah.
But, you know, who knows where it will go from here.
But I think they'll play that out.
It'll be a distraction for a little while, I think.
Till Gregson comes back and it gets all crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe she'll be pregnant again. Because it'll be like 32 and it'll be like,
two bastard children.
Two bastard children and I don't know who the daddy is.
Oh, God. Two bastard children.
Wow.
Okay. If she hits three, she'll have a trifecta.
If he is some sort of cousin of the Lord Hexamer, stranger things have happened.
That's
with
true. Inheritances.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes,
so, suddenly he will be.
You know, what if she equals Mary with being a mother in the next season, and I know I'm going into predictions, but whatever. And then bests her by marrying better than Mary does.
Ooh, well, that can be very interesting indeed.
That would be fantastic.
Oh, but you know, we didn't tell you, going
it
back real quick,
happen,
let's talk about, so Mary and Charles Blake and Mary and Tolbert, and that there could be another love triangle there, because I don't think Charles Blake is going to...
Nobody cares.
I mean,
we forgot his name already.
It took me a good 5 minutes to remember his name, I got to tell you.
We just know he was the little one.
All right, that's enough. I'm going to fight for him now, because he said that.
Nah.
Don't bother.
All right, moving on. Speaking of other things we don't want to bother with or don't really care too much about.
Oh, my God.
I want to talk the Anna Bates storyline.
Oh, jeez.
Well... Now, a lot of people are still interested. I'm not one of them. Because every time the storyline came out, I'm going, yeah, so, and, you know, and they even went so far as to have, you know, obviously we saw Mary visiting her in prison, but then we saw Bates visiting and using the exact same lines and then even talking about this, not the exact same, but very much the same lines in reverse.
When she visited him.
Exactly. And then they even talk about doing
that.
And I'm going, yeah, it's.
It's stupid.
Exactly. Yeah, hello. It's very.
And none of our jaws dropped.
All right. So the new information is that she cut her step. She will cut a bitch. Or a dude. She will cut a dude.
Oh my God.
That was amusing.
Yeah.
So she cut her stepfather and she
she
her
has a history of this.
Her encounter with Green was not a first time
out of
scenario.
Character.
Mm-hmm. Which
so
is
all
terrible.
Those character references would be for naught because she's done this in the past.
Your stepfather was trying to molest you. You stab him, and somehow that means you would kill
anyway,
your rapist.
Blah blah blah. Yeah. She
sleep.
Sleep. Courtney took a nap during this storyline.
It starts to look bad for her.
Yes.
All the phone calls go out that say that she's going to be prosecuted because of this past history.
Yeah.
And then,
of course, Bates confesses. Which
naturally.
Is something we discussed on many occasions, that he wouldn't let that happen and he would confess or something like
he's
that.
He's confessing and he's on the lam.
Right.
And with no one with half a brain would believe anyway. But they do.
Well, because they have something in mind.
Because he wrote it down.
Well, yeah, and since he did
and
that, it was too easy for the defense to say, hey, look, you have somebody.
Yeah.
It can't be us. So the jury would never convict somebody if somebody else has confessed to it.
Mm. Right.
So there is no case that can
So
be.
Anna comes back. She's welcomed with open arms because everyone knows that she's not guilty.
Yeah.
And then Bates confesses, and there's the quandary of if he's guilty, then I'm innocent, and if I'm innocent, then he's guilty.
Or if I'm guilty, he's innocent.
That's what I said. If I'm guilty, then he's innocent, and if he's...
I'm innocent, he's guilty.
Yeah. Whatever.
It's a transitive property of logic.
Thank you. And so... So she's concerned in the end that she's going to be, you know, prosecuted again because she's only out on bail at this point.
Yes.
But then her accuser, her witness, is starting to get
second thoughts.
Have second thoughts.
Decide that maybe it wasn't her.
A midget.
And you know, we don't care about that. But really, the only reason why I wanted to talk about it was how nobly Moseley stepped
up.
That was sweet.
That was kind of good, right?
Yeah.
You know,
gave him something else to do.
Exactly, because he's kind of been the...
And he got to have his little relationship.
Yeah. Again, one of our wonderful Twitter followers made up...
Their celebrity name.
Yeah, their celebrity name, which is Baxley.
Baxley. Baxter Moseley. Baxley.
Love it. Love it. I think that was Katie who said that.
That will work.
Yeah, Katie Bailey.
Better than Molter or something like that.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Molesler.
Yeah, that's not.
No. Baxley. So they go out and
I love this. They went to every pub.
Not every one of them, because they stopped at like 60.
Yeah, but that was pretty good. Door to door to each pub that they could get to find the guy. And you know, it was great. And they did explain it well. I mean, the guy knew, remembered him, because why? Of course, you would remember a guy with a cane who you fought in a war with, etc., etc. Had conversations.
Yeah, for once we believed it.
Exactly.
It was believable.
Yeah, that's true. It was believable.
Okay, sorry that I had to say that. And then Lord Grantham says, you know, you've done a fine, fine thing.
Yes.
Fine. And
they're like, thank you, sir.
Jerry.
And how can we ever repay you, right? Yeah. I can't find it in my notes, but I remember that. So that was quite lovely. And then Bates comes back.
From Ireland.
And they kiss and whatever. Okay, and so sick to death of the story. It was so powerful last season four. Season five, it was starting to get tiresome. And as we talked about, I was really hoping that Julian Fellowes would come up in the end in the credits and go, oh my God, you want to know who really killed Green? I'm going to tell you. I never told it. And so at this point, I mean, I didn't care weeks ago. I really don't care going into this last season. Mm-hmm. And we got sick of Bates being in jail when he was in jail. I got sick of Anna being in jail. I don't want anybody to be in jail anymore.
Yeah.
I had a slight hope for an unfortunate hunting accident this season because we had hunting, but none of the principals were involved.
Nope.
But whatever, turn the page, I'm done.
Well, I feel like he has to still do something because he has to redeem himself because this was a disaster.
He who, Julian Fellowes?
Yes.
Well, but what he's going to...
The storyline was
a disaster.
But he's going to have to rekindle our ire and our, you know, our defense of Anna and her, you know... Purity or whatever you want to call it. Because, you know, the fact that she was victimized is so in the past right now that all of the, you know, righteousness that all of us fans were feeling as she was becoming a victim has fallen away. He trifled with us through this season. No. I'm going to say it. I'm sorry. But he did.
He trifled with us.
I look at John and he's like,
he trifled
with us this season. And the fact that there was no resolution, I don't care anymore. I haven't cared all season. So he's going to have to rekindle our devotion to Anna in order to make it satisfying. Otherwise, you know, let it drop away and stop
talking
about it.
Maybe that's the commentary, though, that the rape or things like that would happen and people are angry and what is she supposed to do, but in the end there's nothing really that can be done or happen for them because they are not women of a certain class and they don't mean anything, and that's why.
And it happened every
day. It's the most unfulfilling, like, nobody's going to get gotten for it or justice won't be served because that's
I think that's a
is.
Very
well,
solid
some people say justice was served in the sense that
he died.
Green is dead,
but he's dead like very not satisfyingly.
Again, one of our Twitter followers talked about that it's a gambling debt, that Gillingham had gambling challenges. And so let's just put on record, Katie, that you think it was a gambling debt.
It's going to be the new guy that Mary's dating. That's up to sketchy.
Talk about a coincidence. Anyway, my whole point is that we were so riled up about Anna being victimized by Green and that whole scenario. Mm-hmm. The way that this played out was so unsatisfying that, I think that's a really valid point that you make, that, you know, that's how the truth is. But you know what? This isn't truth. This is TV. Mm-hmm. And
what?
I would.
Wait.
It's not how it actually happened. It's drama.
It's real life.
And I would have liked for it to be more satisfying, and I still, you know, wished that it was an unfortunate hunting accident. Last season.
Still waiting on my jaw to drop.
Well, so even the whole him
coming
back.
Yeah, my jaw never dropped. Thank you.
I'm still waiting.
Thank you.
Let me know.
Hello.
But so the satisfying moment between Bates and Anna at the end there didn't work?
It wasn't really satisfying for you? It was kind of just like...
Well, isn't that nice? Let's move on. What else?
Because they keep doing the same crap.
That Courtney opens this podcast by saying that when she watched it, she was like, but this storyline, she's like, that pretty much says it all for me.
That says it all.
Okay, there you go. All right, so
I think it was a misstep.
I've said from the beginning it was a misstep not to show them overcoming everything instead of the way you could. But that's what he did. That's what he chose to do. So let's move on to Spratt and Dinker.
Spratt and Dinker.
Hello. Because I was surprised to see that they actually kept the storyline going.
I thought it was adorable.
But they did, and I was like, all right, okay, great. You know, so we got to see Morris Pratt being highly indignant and obnoxious, and Danker being self-righteous in a sense. You know, it's like, I can do it.
I can make a broth, for God's sake.
Not that hard.
Don't be ridiculous.
It's all surrounding a broth.
Do you take up the challenge of the wooden spoon?
Yeah. Oh my God! The two
I
of
do
them.
Take up that challenge.
And then one of my favorite moments in the whole episode, and I had a lot of them, was the first time we see that fight continuing, and Violet is she's having Isabel over for tea, and then we realize that they're going to continue the fight, and the scene ends, and the last thing you see is Violet just throwing up her arms, going, "Oh my God!"
Right? She literally throws up her hands.
What?
Exactly. I was just going, "Oh, this is great," because even she is having a hard. She's just like, I can't even control her own people.
Well, her opening line about, you know, Lord Grantham talking about Mary visiting Anna in prison. And Lord Grantham says, come on, you can't say that you wouldn't defend Danker in prison. She's like, only to make sure the locks were tight or whatever it was she said, were secure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't find good help these days.
That is nice. That is nice.
Funny.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so the whole broth fiasco, and Danker can't make it, so she goes, to, you know, and this is, was nice, she goes over to Patmore.
Not only can she
people.
Not make it, it's stinky.
Yeah. Bad. What were you putting in there?
That was pretty good. But Daisy's the one that comes up with the plan.
Yes.
Nice. I'll make it for you. We'll give you the fix it so you can pretend to put on a whole show and the whole thing.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's not enough to thwart.
No.
Spratt
you
figures
will
it
not
out.
Fool me.
How about Spratt and his
pores?
Oh my God, the look on his face. He's just, there you go. It's like, wow, these guys, their turf is so important
it
to them.
It is.
I mean, but they didn't have anything else.
I know, but it just cracks me. It's so small minded, but I love it. I mean, it's hysterical to watch.
You know, you got things you got to do. You got to create importance.
Keep life interesting. Mm-hmm.
So Danker makes a broth. Oh, she lifts the thing off and is like, woo, that
even
is
she knows it's revolting.
She knows it's terrible.
Yeah. She knows.
Violet comes in, the Dowager Countess.
Oh, let me try it.
The way she said it's delicious.
And Spratt's like, you lie.
Yeah, and he's not even. He doesn't believe it. Can't believe it. It's impossible. You know? Yeah. And I thought for sure he was going to dive right in to taste it himself.
Yeah.
But no, couldn't do that. So.
She wobbled out.
And what, you know, it all came down to that Violet hates dissension.
Dissension
she
is in the house. She will not.
Shut them up.
I don't like dissension. Yes.
And by the way, like why don't dissension. We have, I'm not hungry enough to do your broth. Honor, right?
We don't need it every
day. I'll have it later.
It might turn before I am ready to do
it.
That was nice, though. I like that little storyline between the
cute.
Two of them. You get to have some
very
nice,
cute.
Very good fun to alleviate
it
some of the
really
crazy.
Is funny how all the intrigue is going on at all times.
Yeah.
You know, nothing is as it seems and is out front. It's all like, okay, what just happened here? What am I supposed to be doing? Whose team am I on?
Yeah.
With everyone, upstairs, downstairs, royalty, lordship, landed, or a cook.
Yeah.
It's all going on
the
undertones, and I love it.
Well, you got to do stuff when you didn't have TV.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That moves us to the next storyline, which is Violet and Kerrigan.
Oh,
talk about going on.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was great. Oh, okay. So Violet, of course, has got Shrimpy to help find the princess and bring her back she saved her and stuff. And they're going to have the big dinner with the prince and the princess present so they can see each other after 5 years of not seeing each other.
I loved her checking in with Isabel and saying, you'll be there in advance,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Because you've got my back is essentially what she's saying,
exactly.
Right?
I love it.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
We are BFFs.
But this is the kind of thing I'm talking about because for so long they've had those people bicker at each other, meaning Violet and
Isabel.
Which, you know, that's been fun too.
It
but it was
fun.
Nice to see that's what I was talking about between the sisters. Can't we move them into a different room? No.
They're still young.
Not for you.
They're still too young.
Yeah, no, they're not young.
They're
35 for crying
out
loud. Get over it.
And they're young and they're,
they haven't had enough heartbreak.
No, enough life experience.
Now, that being said, next series, I'm sure the Dowager and Isabel are going to be out of it. But it's great to see them having each other and being supportive and being friends.
Well, because there was a little bit of challenge to that relationship as Isabel was considering marrying up, essentially.
Yeah, but she found a way through that. I mean,
yes, she did.
And I think I'm just saying I thought that was a smart move to move that relationship on because it's much more interesting when it's textured right as opposed to the same thing every freaking time.
No, and to see them as allies because in a certain way we root for each of them.
Yes.
And to see them as allies with knowing everything about each other, right?
Still,
so I know some of your dirty laundry. I'm going to learn some more of it in a little bit.
And they still disagree. They don't. They don't agree with each other's position.
No, there's still some of this.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Going on.
But, what did you say?
Yeah, it's much more layered, and I just think it's way more interesting to watch.
But that's because they're in
fantastic.
A different place in life.
Yeah,
loved it.
I don't care. I think the other ones are
they've
just
seen
ridiculous
other stuff.
And stupid.
But
and
they've only been in the castle of Downton forever, and all they have is that little unit. She's been to Russia and fell in love and ran
that's
away.
That's true.
And
speaking of that, let's get back to the princess.
Yeah, so let's speak of that.
So the princess
the
comes
princess.
And boy, is she a wet
she's
mop.
A bitter.
Sour.
Betty.
Yeah. Yeah. Sour. All caps is what I wrote.
Betty.
And I love Isabel and Lord Merton going, I'd love to go to Russia. Isn't it nice to be in Paris? Oh my God. What about this soup? Isn't this an incredible dip?
How British. To be so polite and kind and trying to keep sweet.
Well, and that's what Violet talked about. Yeah. Our only guarantee of civility is. Strangers or whatever.
Oh, yes, the presence of strangers is the only guarantee for good behavior.
I pretty much got there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good job. Thank you, Courtney.
I got that one.
She's so rude, the princess.
Well, you know, and again, from where she's come from, I mean, can you really blame her?
True.
Because, you know, and she also is carrying the knowledge that we don't know yet of what happened between Violet and the prince.
Mm. But still have some kind of gracious
attitude.
She gave you a new dress.
Thank you for the you know. Yeah.
She's like, I lost the will to live. Yeah. Like, she's awful.
I do think, though, that...
Remember where she was.
Yeah.
I mean, last thing we knew, she was in some...
She wasn't a hooker.
She was a nurse.
She was a nurse.
A nurse.
She was rubbing toes.
In a whorehouse.
Wow. Okay, but hey, she had a house. Okay. She had a house.
I have to say, as Westerners, whether it's British or Americans, that, you know, my brain is sort of conditioned against that swallowing the L that they do with a Russian accent. Can you do
it?
I know.
Oh. Yeah, I see.
You know, I thank you.
For
I loved my friends. You know, and so, you know, watching her talk, just, it's first of all, it sounded like...
Natasha.
Thank you. Natasha and Boris. And I don't even remember what that was because I was a tiny little kid. It sounded so silly. And also, you just kind of are like, really?
She looked scary.
She did look scary. And her disdain that she was throwing at everybody in the room. You know, we were ready to not like her.
She served that purpose well.
Yes, she did.
She did a fine job at getting us to not be happy with her or like her in any way, shape, or form.
True.
And it made us understand the prince.
Isn't a fan either.
But didn't it make you understand the prince so much more?
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like, no
like,
wonder why he was.
With that chick. Why do you want to find her?
The last 5 years have been fantastic without you.
I'm good. I'm broke.
I'm good.
And his desire to still want to run away with Violet.
I know.
He's been pining for that for 60 years.
I know.
Okay,
and then
so.
I cried.
Cried.
I almost cried when Violet was sitting in the chair and she goes, I'll never again receive an immoral proposition from a man.
Ever.
Like, ever.
Mm-hmm. And was I so wrong to savor it?
So broken.
Yeah.
Fascinating, though, to finally hear the story. And it was incredibly dramatic.
Yes.
When we did hear the story.
Carriage.
She was literally dragged out of the carriage.
From the carriage.
And what I loved about it was that Violet understood that the princess actually saved her from a horrible fate.
From the abyss, as she calls it.
Well, and not only the sort of psychological abyss, but the path that the princess ended up taking is the path that Violet would have taken as opposed to the path that she did take. It was earth-shattering.
Yeah. That was a jaw-dropper, right? To hear that story?
It was a jaw-dropper.
In a horrible way, because I was kind of like, really, would it have been that bad? I mean,
we don't know.
They both would have been dethroned, like, because they couldn't be in their spaces.
Who knows?
And
it could have been them against the world and all that kind
of
stuff.
They could have, like, moved to Indonesia somewhere and been happy.
Could have been.
Well, it's really quite sad, though, to see...
But she wouldn't have her children and all that.
She wouldn't have her children.
So that would be true.
And to see the prince so downtrodden and, you know, and still... completely devoted to her.
Duty.
It was very sad.
Yeah.
No, I mean to Violet.
To Violet,
You know, to really, like, I still would love to be with you.
And
after 60 years, are you kidding?
Yeah, and he still in his own way, doesn't understand her. She even says that you would if you tried.
Why would you give up?
And stuff like that. And you know, from his perspective, I'm going, I don't understand you either. What do you, but, you know, she's caught in that caste system, so to speak.
Yes.
And is unwilling to move out of that.
I mean, you should have seen the lady and been like.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, he has the perspective of, look, I've been forced out of that world, so now
everything.
I know
it's
okay out here, and you haven't been, so so there's that.
Yeah.
But I especially like what you said about that moment when she says that I'm never going to have this again.
It's terrible.
It is. It was really, but that was one of those great moments in this particular episode where you just went, wow, they went there and it worked. I mean, they really hit that home, and I thought that was a terrific.
She's like a full person. Because you have all your feelings. Just because she's old doesn't mean she's lost anything in her emotions, and it was just.
It was really sad, too. Because you realize that part of your life is gone.
Yeah.
Because
until
then, you might not have, it wasn't in your awareness, or you
you're
might think there's still
about
hope.
It
but
until
no,
you feel it again.
Yeah.
Well, and
felt it.
Yes,
I don't know if we want to make the transition to Isabel, but it's a similar scenario with Isabel because she's been given this sort of, can I go there?
Yeah.
Okay. This last, chance at happiness. We've been talking about that since, the last episode, that she's been given a chance at happiness with Lord Merton.
Right.
And she loves him, he loves her, but his son, freaking Larry, is in the way.
Yeah, exactly.
That
and
letter.
Yeah, but Larry's the one who.
Yeah, the letter from Larry.
Can you help?
That's all right. So, since it's the same kind of storyline, let's go to Isabel right now as well.
Yeah.
Because they both were talking about this, Violet, and I mean, that's the one thing.
And their sort of year in review.
You know, and we'll get to that part of the storyline. But so, Isabel's decided that she can't come between a father and his son.
Right,
yes.
And that she's not going to spend her last years. Worrying about or living in that loathing and all that kind of stuff. And, again, that goes back to, in a sense, the duty of it all because she, there's that. And I was just going, oh, man, even Isabel, who usually is the more progressive of all of them.
Absolutely. That was the exact word that was in my head.
And she's going, oh, and I'm just going, please, just tell the sons it's piss off.
Yeah. But in the same note, I kind of felt like it still made her progressive by not, just accepting what they're going to do and, marrying this man because that's what he wants really badly and she does want to be with somebody because she's like, I don't want to be miserable for the rest of my life coming between you guys and having to deal with that kind
absolutely.
Of conflict.
Absolutely.
I'm happy.
Part is clear.
I'm okay by myself and I would love to be with you, but you can't fix that, so I'm just going to be fine.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the truth of it is, when she had those moments, when Isabel has those moments with Lord Merton, two things were happening. I'm thinking about Lord Merton. I'm going, here's this guy, and he truly loves her.
He does.
You can see that he even confesses that he wasn't very good to his first wife.
Right.
And so here is his last shot at happiness, and he's not going to get it either because of his son's being horrible.
Yeah, being wretched, selfish, self-serving,
childish. And I'm just going, doesn't any of the adults stand up and say, forget the kid?
Nobody grows up until you're 60.
You know, the marrying for love thing is an incredibly modern
thing.
Yeah. You know, because especially within the aristocracy, it was all about, combining our houses and creating our power and our wealth and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, interesting because these kids are actually talking about, I don't want you to replace my mother, which is an emotional
connection.
Response.
But, it's so childish. And, again, they're 35 for crying out loud.
Turn the page! Let it go!
In the big house for all 35 years. They don't have the same perspective that they...
But, again, I get that. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm also saying, you're the father.
Yeah.
Be the father.
Yes.
Well, he was. But
he just tells his kids, screw off. I'm disowning you. Too bad. You're not getting anything.
Okay. So the fact that there were a couple of months in between the letter and when Lord Merton learned about the letter, and she says to him, "That's final. As final as if you had spat in my eye."
Oh my God. Jeez.
Which was so sad.
Yeah. I was like, whoa.
He was like.
So, but the thing is that because there was that time jump that he was not party to, or privy to, rather, does that invalidate his sort of ability to say to his kid, no, you can't do that, I'm doing it anyway?
No, he could say that
no,
anytime.
Okay.
Yeah, he can do it anyway.
But he can't make Isabel do it.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't mind that they decided to part ways. I think it's great TV, and that's fine.
We want Doctor back.
But I'm still going. I don't. It's like, why would you? Who cares? Why would you give a crap about the kids?
Because you don't want them.
Well, here's the thing. The kids, how often
it
do
makes
the,
Christmas
they're
really
adults,
awkward.
They're off in their own
yes.
world. So don't
Who's
have Christmas
take care
with them.
Of you when you're really old and decrepit
that's my
and
point.
Can't
is
do
you have a few years left. Go enjoy them with the person you want to enjoy them with. You have enough money. Hire people to take care of you. Why
that's
do you need
true.
The kids?
You could hire.
Why do you need these kids? They're ungrateful. They don't. They don't. If they really loved their father, they wouldn't be doing this. So what good are they?
Oh. Just throw the kids away.
Exactly.
John.
Throw them away.
Shut them in the attic and let them out when they're 101,
right.
as
You've
Mary
raised
would say.
Horrible sons. Acknowledge it. Move on. That's it.
You failed at your job.
That's right.
Try
you did.
Again with love at least.
You did.
I don't know. I just think that, I mean, I think that's a... I obviously agree with you. I'm pretty sure Courtney agrees with you.
I think it's a very modern idea.
Thank you. That was the next thing I was going to say. Yeah. So...
But you send your kids off to boarding school. You don't see them for years.
But
you can't send them off now?
But when they have that kind of disdain for the person, it just causes all kinds of problems. It's just not worth
cut the
energy.
Cord,
That's why
on.
Isabel's like, I'm good. I'll drink my tea and hang out with my girl.
And as Violet says, Dr. Clarkson will be... Thrilled.
Yeah, exactly. That part of it I love. That part of it I think is, you know, again, I didn't mind either way because I like Dr. Clarkson. I think they're a great match.
Yeah.
But I also, I felt horrible for Merton because I thought, you know, this guy was kind of a...
Like, I love you.
Yeah, he was terrific. But
he actually said those words, which we don't really hear. And he's in misery without her.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Terrible.
Mm-hmm. But Dr. Clarkson will be thrilled.
Yes, and that'll be fun to see. Because they did seem, you know, we were... pining like crazy to have them together.
We were.
She just dropped him like a bad habit.
Yeah, and that's going to be weird. How's they going to mend that fence?
Something else will happen.
He's probably still carrying a torch.
They'll
nurse
people together and find love over old feet.
All right, now,
what do we have?
We got to get back to this because we have a little time left, and I wanted to get to it was done like...
So
but this episode was done in like two acts. The first act,
yes.
a much longer act. The second act, a shorter act, which is all Christmas 1924. Because it was a Christmas special. Let's get to Christmas. They set the stage great by showing Downton with the snow and the inside
and
with
the
all
tree,
the fixings that we talked about before.
Kids.
The tree. Yeah, exactly. They're putting the, you know, dress in the tree and all that kind of stuff.
Apparently Mary's a singer.
Isn't it interesting that Cora didn't sing? Cora, who is literally a singer in a band,
that's true.
She didn't sing.
Yeah.
But I suppose you have to have the ingenue sing.
Yes. Okay. And your sister accompanying you.
And your sister accompanying you.
Off to the side.
Off to the side here by the tree, behind the piano.
As is their
way. Put
the
pretty one on the microphone.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay. The couple of scenes that I really wanted to talk about. I want to start with...
I can't even talk to you right now.
Yeah, exactly. I want to start with the ladies, and meaning Isabel and the Dowager, when they secret themselves away in the little room.
I love that!
Yeah.
I love that! Wasn't
that
great? Come on, let's get away while we can.
And I thought, that's just so right, because every time you have one of those big things, you find a place...
I try to hide.
Come here, you, me, let's go.
You bring your best buddy out, you're talking together. And I just thought that was a great, great scene together. They're talking about how they've had proposals and propositions. And I thought, oh, man, that was a good scene. It was just, when you think about the episode, you're going, that's what you want it to be.
Yes.
And that, for me, was so perfect.
It was.
I liked the scene between the two of them a lot.
It was.
A nice little stamp on their whole season of growth of love.
And I don't have anything else to say about the scene except that I thought it was great, and I'm so thankful that they included it.
And adorably interrupted by a drunk.
Exactly. Which is so like a Christmas party, right?
Hey, how are y'all doing in here?
I'm gonna go do a speech. Come on!
Exactly. It gave me great hope for their relationship for next series.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that they keep that thing going, and as it's been progressing now.
Right, because there's been this balance of snarkiness and competition, and now the cementing of their relationship because they're very similar situations. Yeah. I loved it, and I loved that we got some great humor from each of them.
And you could see them, I could watch those gals together just
all the time.
Kind of
like we need to spin off.
Exactly.
That's exactly what I thought.
It would be a crazy movie. Wouldn't it be fun?
The grand ladies of Downton.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love it.
Now, the other scene, at which I thought was just fabulous, was
I don't
the
have
scene
a Kleenex,
in the nursery.
So don't even talk about
the
it
The scene
too much.
In the nursery when they're there with the you know, putting the little stockings on the bed.
Dear.
And the three of them, and they're talking about, you know, let's give a thought to Sybil.
Think about Sybil.
And I was just like,
I am going to choke up because, so... Tom's talking about, you know, the three of us who loved her the most.
Right. And should have grown old.
Should have grown. That was the thing.
That was the thing that killed you, didn't it?
Yeah. Because it was like, what about the parents? No, we were supposed to grow old.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, man, I can't. Yeah.
Such a truth in that. That's just different. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now that's the kind of relationship I want them to keep moving forward.
They will eventually, but they have to stay
together. The sisters even held hands for crying out loud.
They touched each other. That was huge.
The prayer / speech that Mary made, you know, my dear Sybil, wherever you are, and all that kind of stuff.
The happiest of happy Christmases and stuff, yeah. That was a killer scene. It was just so tender, so raw and intimate, and just a wonderful scene. And it's been so long in the coming, and that was terrific.
Yeah.
Also, the moment when
broken by a drunk.
Right, but he was still watching.
So when he said he was sort of, you know, you don't know how long he was there.
No,
he could have seen the whole thing.
Right.
And you know, he's like, are you sure you don't want to leave Sybil?
He was like, no.
And Tom's response, which was, I love the way you love her.
Yeah. Yeah. Kill you, right?
No, I've only got like 5 tears on my face right now.
Good.
You know, Sybil's death was I think way more gut-wrenching than Matthew's death.
Agreed.
It was for me. Yeah.
And you know, not to demean Matthew's death because it was important, but it was just unexpected and so
too soon.
Right.
For such a She was not what any of them were.
Right.
And she was the personification of kindness and lovingness and all that. And you know, it's that tragedy of losing, you know, someone young and someone so beautiful in so many ways. And, you know, to have this tribute to her was incredibly touching. And that, you know, I love the way you love her. I just thought sort of encapsulated the whole... And our relationship with Sybil.
It really is a testament to the writing and the acting because he just has to call that back and we're there.
Like,
that is still so ingrained and indelible in our minds.
All
that
beds in there.
Yeah, it was terrific.
Tom's
it was just such a...
Too much.
And I'm going, this is why I like the show. I love that they're not afraid to go there.
Yes.
And when they do, it's very successful. I mean, for me, it was just terrific.
They did great.
All right. So, and then the other one that I thought was very touching was the send-off to Tom.
Yeah.
With Lord Grantham and the whole
thing. So we have drunk Lord Grantham.
Because drunk Lord Grantham gets saved by Tom.
So back up a little bit. He, you know, in the 3 months or however long it was before, you have an ulcer, so you have to lay off the drink.
Right.
Steady on! I'm going to be fine!
That's...
What do you mean?
No, I'm not.
I can't drink. I can't eat no meat. What?
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute.
Not until Christmas. Christmas Eve. He's still negotiating.
So, we had a lot of criticisms about Lord Grantham this season, a series, and, you know, talking about how he was kind of mamby-pamby, and he was a little bit ridiculous with Cora, and, you know.
And the whole painting, La Francesca.
The Della Francesca, which
got sold.
Earned quite a sum.
Yes, apparently.
It did.
That's
allowed us to have a new footman at Christmas. Mm-hmm. Yay. You know, so for him to redeem himself, I think was really great. And, you know, the opportunity for him to let go a little bit with getting drunk off of, like,
for
two
months,
fingers
of sherry. Hasn't touched a drop for months.
And so he becomes the jolly drunk who is making negotiations and giving speeches.
Yeah, or trying to. Of course, that's when Tom comes in and saves the day there.
Yeah.
Just like Rose did, he jumps right to it.
Yeah.
And then has no
sense. So
but then his send-off, I thought, was very touching.
Yes.
And
but
poignant.
You're just like, but that's, you're now the son. You can't leave.
Yeah.
I have a big old sad face on my notes. You know, Downton is my home.
Yes.
And this, you know, for a dad, Lord Grantham, who's got just freaking girls everywhere around him.
All over the place.
You know, the opportunity to, it's taken him a long time, and he acknowledges that. For Sybil to see this and see that I, you know, welcome you as a son to this family, really adds credibility to that relationship. It makes us, you know, we've always loved Tom, but, you know, to see Lord Grantham love him makes it that much more impactful for all of us. And then, you know, the idea that Tom's going to leave, we don't know for sure that he's going to.
Yeah.
for series six.
Right,
but
I mean, they set it up that then, no, he's gone. But who knows? You never know.
Yeah, he'll be back.
Maybe there will be a big contract in his future.
Yes. He'll be like, oh, I tried it in Boston.
He'll make a huge splash in Boston. It'll be Hail the Conquering Hero. He'll come back.
He'll come back with some shady girl worse than the bunker. Or whatever her name was.
Dummy Bunting, as John called her.
Dummy Bunting.
Affectionately.
No. We'll get into that predictions. All right. So that was a wonderful thing. And then... Mm-hmm. You know, just the little things here and there, like, for instance, Daisy making goo-goo eyes at Andrew.
It's like, what? The new footman?
We're going to start that going.
I'm sorry, we left something out of the Isabel and Violet moment where she says, she saved me from the abyss.
Oh, that, yes.
And Isabel says, and you've never strayed.
Yeah.
And
that's
Violet
not what I asked.
Says, that's not, I, what did she say?
I've never risked everything.
That's not what I asked. That's all you're going to get.
We are the Edwardians.
Were the Edwardians after all. Sure. Okay, sorry. I just had to cover that. That
no,
was
thank you for running it.
Yeah. Saucy.
She has a whole life that we don't know yet. And we'll never know because she's not going to give it up.
No, she is not.
Sure. All right. Let's get to our last thing that I want to talk about, which is obviously the Hughes-Carson story.
Wait.
Go ahead.
Wait.
Courtney, what would you like to say about this?
I'm sorry. The two of them made that last little moment like the best thing I've seen in a long time on TV. Carson was like freaking Paddington Bear. He was like, do you love me?
I loved it so much. I want to be stuck with you.
Exactly. But he was like so bashful about it and just like, it was just so well executed. You guys are amazing.
Yes. Agreed. Agreed.
And I don't get all sentimental about the TVs like that.
I do.
It was too much.
But so we finished last series with them holding hands.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that
and
was
leaning
like amazing.
Each, right?
Yes.
And leaning on each other by the sea. And so we end up this series with him saying, you know, and she says, if you think, or he says, if you think that I'm asking you to marry me, I am. Are you offended?
Yeah, he says, am I offended? Yeah. It's the last thing she's offended.
Because I am not marrying anyone else. How perfect and how beautiful for the two of them. Of course, I'll marry you.
Thank you, Stephen.
Boobie. I thought you would never ask.
We all thought that, but we finally did. Now, did anybody know when they were doing the storyline about the houses and all that? I'm assuming that most people knew that they were leading to that. I honestly didn't expect it in this particular episode because they had everything else going on.
Yeah, I wasn't we were going to get there that fast.
Yeah, like, but then when it happened, it was like, it's happening. Oh my God, it's happening now.
Well, and it's reminiscent of, you know, the connection that we kept hoping for with Anna and Bates.
Right.
Yes. Remember? Yeah. You know, when we, you know, and it was so, you know, that difficult scenario where you don't exactly know what your standing is in life or with this other person.
Yeah. But it's so fascinating that she's, I mean, the whole thing, we got to learn about her backstory with her sister and her sister, Kathy, Becky.
Becky.
Her special needs and all of a sudden that she has no money and that's why she never would even think of the idea that they actually would get married because who would want me at this point because I can't bring anything to the marriage, that kind of stuff. And
but
so there was no hint of that.
She can bring everything to a relationship. She is his support.
Yes.
You know, in work, and so why not be that as the future?
But I get from her perspective,
of course.
She you know,
this
I just thought, oh,
on
my
how
God.
The women and the
okay, so there's Courtney's three things. The beginning of the show, it's like, ah.
It's like,
then
ah.
With that, it's like, eh. And then this is.
I don't have words.
Yeah.
I apologize.
That's a very difficult thing on a podcast. So
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
A couple days went by between when it came out and when I could watch the show.
Yes.
And I was getting tweets from fans. And they were like, wait till the last few minutes.
Yeah.
Wait. You will forgive everything.
And did you?
Absolutely, I did.
Nothing wrong with Downton Abbey in my brain at all anymore.
No.
Nothing. Not even how goofy looking Gilligan was.
Right.
Yes, Gillingham was.
Well, to you, he was a Gillingham.
He was a Gillingham.
So, it really did cement it for you.
Yeah.
And that was the best thing you'd seen in a long time.
He bought her a house. He bought her a house. And surprised that he essentially got on his knees. me and said, I have a house for you and I want to make the rest of my life with you.
Because I am not marrying anyone else.
A woman who only anticipated just working until death.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
In somebody else's house. Mm-hmm. That.
So that dude for you?
Drop the mic.
The whole episode really, yeah. You know, from what we talked about in the beginning, I just, you know, I love the beauty and the splendor mm-hmm. of the Christmas episodes. I'm so glad that they ended at Christmas.
Right.
You know, because mm-hmm. last series we didn't. And,
right.
Yeah, we were in the springtime, and it was so nice because, you know, the English and we and I, I'm just going to speak for me, am very sentimental about the Christmas time and all of the, you know, all the things that can happen, you know,
yes.
snow and Christmas trees and, you know, red dresses and all
that. There's magic from that baby Jesus.
Oh, well, completely delivered for sure.
Yeah. It did. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. I have nothing more to say about the
episode. But I think we need to do predictions.
Oh, we do need to do predictions. Yes, absolutely. We're going to go move on to the movie predictions.
Can I start? Because I've got a
list. Why don't you jump in, Tamara?
Should I, please? Okay, so I already talked about, you know, there's this inequity between Mary and Edith because Mary believes it.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I would predict that at least for part of Series 6, which has been rumored in the press to be the last series.
Yeah.
Not confirmed by any means, and some of us hope that it won't be the last series, but it could be. So what if there was a flip in circumstances between Mary and Edith?
Okay.
So Mary kind of being, you know, the moneyed widow with all the prospects, and already being a mother, and Edith coming up going, you know what, I'm a mother too, and look, I've got all these prospects too. So I think that might be an interesting flip. Daisy, we foreshadowed it a little bit, with perhaps her being a cook. I forgot to talk about this, but we have a slight little bit of news. Mrs. Patmore, Leslie Nichols, moved to Los Angeles.
What?
Yeah, she did. She lives in the Hollywood Hills. Maybe we should go over and have drinks with her at some point.
I would totally want to hang out with you.
I would too.
We'll make her some broth and bring it over.
She is returning for Series 6, but she has a brother in South Carolina and she wants to become a U.S. citizen. Now this is according to the Daily Mail. Of course.
So, yeah. So, okay, we'll hold out on that. So the whole point about it is that were to be the case and she wasn't a part of the entire
season and maybe
Daisy,
because they're already putting her as, you know, she's making broth on her own. She's stepping up. She's not necessarily, she even talked about not wanting to necessarily continue her studies.
Yes.
Because what would be the point to her? But who knows? Maybe she would step into the greater role of being me.
Maybe be the precursor to Julia Child and write a cookbook.
Ooh.
Okay. Could happen. We're not going, you know, in theory, we're not going to have Tom. We're not going to have Rose, possibly, or Atticus, because all of them are going to America.
New York
and Boston. Mm-hmm. So, you know, where is it going to go from there? I don't really know.
Because we were even postulating, we don't even know what time. We don't know how far we're going to jump in the future, because it would be interesting. I was saying, geez, we're 1924.
It's got to be over the crash.
That's what I'm saying.
Close,
you got it. Because the whole thing is how the downfall of this society or the change of this society,
which is why Tom is going to come back.
Exactly.
Because it's going to crash.
Yes.
It's not going to be great.
Yes.
It's going to be like, what's the point?
Yes.
But then
we'll
come back and try to help the house.
And how is that going to survive?
Exactly.
So that would be very, very interesting.
Tom is coming back.
5 years down the road and stuff like that. If we were to go that route, I think that would be a great, you know, because we started with one calamity.
Mm-hmm.
If it was to be
ending
the end, it would be
a huge calamity.
Exactly.
And then the whole thing ends in World War II.
Yeah, so. That would be
very interesting. Do you end the entire series with
in the depression?
In the midst of the depression?
Well,
Julian Fellowes.
No, but what it is Julian Fellowes, he wanted to talk about or to demonstrate this period of time and what happened to this class.
Absolutely.
And this way of life. And that would be the thing that would change
that
it forever.
Really changed it.
We'd started in this particular moment, and then so what you would end with is how it kind of fractured and it became something else. It doesn't have to be necessarily a bad thing for people.
Mm-hmm.
This way of life is gone, and Downton may be gone, but not for these people. Might have they'll have their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, they'll be better for some, and not for others.
Yes.
So that would be very layered and textured, which is what he's always done throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, but you know, his way is, at least with this show, is ending on something hopeful,
except for the death of Matthew.
Oh. Well, the hopefulness will be that they've
But the hope was in their child. Move.
Okay, all right.
There was still hope because she married and just had a baby.
I don't think the crash is definitely... Because, look, everybody knows what came out of it.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily
but they've
a horrible thing.
Sort of been working up to being able to deal with how that is going to change their lives. So maybe the whole point will end up being that they are in a position, and it's different, and it sucks in some ways and doesn't in others, but they're able to cope, and they keep moving forward.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, but I just think it's such a rich thing to have to deal with.
Absolutely, yes. It is. Absolutely it is. It was so devastating, though, you know, in America, and so many lives were changed incredibly dramatically by the Depression.
But I honestly, here's the thing, history-wise, I have no idea how it affected
the English. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
it
That's
did.
True. I just know that it did a lot, but I don't know to what degree, like what their lives and
exactly.
what
well,
happened,
and
so
I don't,
be interesting.
I don't think logistically they can go from, was it 1916 or whatever when the Downton Abbey began
12
okay to
30
to 1930 that's going to be a hard jump logistically with your actors.
Well, we've talking about how they haven't aged at all.
Yeah. How old is the dowager going to be?
The dowager wouldn't
that's
be
true.
There,
it's only
which
five
is
more
why
years.
It would be sad.
It is only five more years. But and Maggie Smith is going to be on the show until its finale.
Cool. I appreciate that.
But I think that the going into the Depression is absolutely a great opportunity for conflict and a great opportunity for story.
But you know, even if they turn it around next, it starts January 1925. There's plenty of stuff that they can deal with. Yeah. I'm just saying it from a whole global
world historical perspective.
Yeah,
that would be interesting.
But he always finds wonderful historical things as the backdrop for something.
True.
So
he does.
He'll find whatever it is, whatever year.
He does.
That change will finally give you what you want from Edith and Mary.
Thank you so
much. They need a real life
they did
altering
say,
event.
Something.
And
so there's
I think the crash might do it for him.
Exactly,
well,
yeah.
And Gregson is going to come back up.
Yes.
We've been predicting that for a long time.
I haven't. I think this, the Henry Tolbert, I think will definitely be
back.
A player.
Back.
I honestly think that if I'm doing Fellows and I hear everybody's upset about Charles Blake and not being enough and all of a sudden, and he brings this guy in, people are going to go, oh, my God. Yeah, he'll
use you're going to bring him back.
You better bring him back.
Yeah.
You'd be a fool not to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I think that would be wonderful. I'd love to see them go toe-to-toe for a while.
Just quickly, did you guys see the Text Santa with George Clooney?
Oh, right.
Mini film.
Yes.
Very fun, right?
Yeah.
Very cute.
Cute, silly, exactly what we wanted from that.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to say, again, as much as we criticize this series, people tweeted me as it was airing in the UK. They made up for it with a Christmas special.
They sure
for
did.
Me. They really
they,
did.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're back in love.
We love you, Dan Abbey. We love you, Julian Fellows.
Right.
We do.
It made me sad thinking that the next one is the last one.
And we've got like 9 months to wait.
I don't want to think about that part.
No.
But I will wait.
All right.
We'll just keep watching reruns.
Any other last thoughts before we say goodbye?
Last thoughts. Keep it up, guys.
Yeah. I want Rose to come back.
They did a really good job with her.
Can't wait for Cinderella to come
and
out.
If they're moving to New York, that'd be great after the
crash. Let's do it in New York.
There you go.
Yes.
Let's go to New York.
Let's go to New York for a little while.
Where can they find you?
At Twitter. Stuart Starlet. She knows about it. I was like, wait, at my house?
What?
Stuart Starlet. Yes.
You can find me at Tamara Berg on Twitter. My website is TamaraCentral.com. The Glug recipe is there. You can find it.
And it's very good, guys.
Delish.
Okay, well, you won't find me here, and you won't find me for another 9 months.
Oh, but John and I are both going to do Justified.
We'll do Justified. Okay. Maybe something else.
Yeah,
I'll watch you guys.
So, all right, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for tuning in. It's been an awesome series.
Especially for all your comments. We love those.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Cup of tea.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.